All right, let's begin today. Oh, like I mentioned, I will be concluding that teaching on the cross of Christ. Please, I'd like you to pay attention to everything that was said or that's still being said. And one of the things I want to explain again today is that, let me just start. It's already flowing like that. We'll read the text in a moment. One of the things I want to explain is that Christianity is not marked by what you can get. It's actually marked by what you can give up. Did you hear what I said? Christianity is not marked by what you can acquire. It's actually marked by what it is that you can release, what you can give up. And I want to talk today, in fact, there are two things I want to talk about today as I teach. And both of them, one is how to count your possessions as a Christian. Very important, counting your possession. I think I wrote an article on it. And then the second one, both of them combined, again, is living a life of purpose. And I think it's one of the most important things I've been teaching, as I've been teaching the Word of God, that Christians must learn to live the life of purpose. I explained to you, I said earlier that we just drove in from Newe. I went to teach a group of young students who are just graduating from school. And one of them, in fact, he asked me, there's a scripture we're going to read in a moment, he asked me a question about it, and I answered him, because when Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the man wanted to understand what that meant. And I explained to him, and I'm going to talk about that again as we go on, that you see, wealth as an example, all right? We're taking that as an example on how Christians should live their lives. Wealth for a Christian is not about possession, it's about responsibility. So I explained to him, because we didn't have the time to talk in details, that so for a Christian, that really doesn't apply. Now, when I say apply now, the principle of Jesus Christ is correct, but that you as a Christian can never be that kind of rich man if you are really a true Christian and you understand life. You can never be that kind of rich man. You can have billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, all right, at your disposal, that is, that you are controlling, but you can never be that kind of rich man. That is, you actually don't have anything as a Christian. If you read my book, Grace to Prosper, in it I taught about the vow of poverty, all right? And every Christian must take a vow of poverty. There's nothing you have everything you have must be serving a purpose, all right? And you must be willing to let go of anything if the time comes. You must never see anything as your own, all right? You know, when it even comes to children, as God gave me understanding, like I was saying the other day, when I look at my children in the house, I don't even see them as my own. I see them as young men, and we have one young woman, all right? I have young men and a young woman who God sent into my home that I should train in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you getting my point? That I should train them how to do righteousness and justice so that he can bring to pass certain things that he wants to do on the earth. They are not my children. They are children of God. You know, all of us are children of the same Father. If I was teaching that where I was, you know, that when went to where I went to teach just before coming back in here now, that you see, when Jesus said, "Don't call anybody Father on this earth," you know, if you don't understand the words of Jesus Christ, let me teach some of those things I said here to help people. You know, you must understand how to interpret the words of Jesus. People say everything that Jesus said was literal. You must be careful that you don't do what I call hyper-literal interpretation of the scriptures. If you do that, you are going to cause confusion. That's why some people will tell you that if you are rich on this earth, you can never enter the kingdom, because Jesus said it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. You know, and we know that a camel cannot pass through the eye of a needle. But Jesus also said other things. He said you have a log in your eye and you want to pick a speck from the eye of somebody. How many people have you seen with timber inside their eye? So you must understand that he's using some things to express some things. He told the Pharisees that you strain out a gnat and then you swallow a camel. Have you ever seen a Pharisee swallow a whole animal? You get my point? What was he trying to tell them? That you tight little things, but the weightier matters of the law, you have not yet handled it. So you must understand when Jesus is speaking, all right, with parables, and you know, people say, no, he meant what he said literally. Listen, just read it in context. You will know when he's using parables to explain the principle, all right? So in the same manner, all right, Jesus explained to people that don't call anybody father on the earth. And what was he saying? That nobody really is your source of life. Because elsewhere he uses scripture and the expression, honor your father and your mother. So if he said don't call anybody father, how is he saying that? How will you now know who to honor now? You understand the principle? But he was looking at it. In fact, let me not teach. You know, the thing is just in my mind. I just finished teaching some people now. So it's still, it's still hanging in my throat. So I want to say it. So let me just be careful. Now, why did I bring that matter up? So I just use that illustration to let you, I just want to bring out something that, so when I see my children, all right, they, I'm not really in that, using the words of Jesus now, I'm not really their father. We are all brothers. That's what he said. So I see them as brothers who are far younger than I am, who have come into my home to be trained because I'm more experienced. We are both, we are all of them are children of the same father. That's what I brought that one up. I see them as such, so I have to teach them the way of God. It is a responsibility. I am not teaching you to bear my name. What is my name? In fact, those are the things you must understand about Christians, as being a Christian. You must never take any pride in that your name, your family name. In Christianity, it means nothing. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. Are your family name you are carrying like it is important? It's absolutely unimportant. You've heard me say this one before. A young woman married, she wants to leverage on how important her father is, so he joins it to her husband's name. If it's okay with you and your people, you two of you, I'm not here to fight you. But for me, it means what? Nothing. Even if I married Kenny Higgins' daughter, you know, so I'm in ministry, so now come and say, your name is Ufoma Higgin Olushina. Because of why? Or because of what? Because of waiting. You have to explain to me why. You're taking pride in your father's name. You're not allowed to do that. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue there. So, you see, as Christians, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Jesus said something. Let's just read that one again. Let me just so as to connect with where we were. Let me, before I forget, to read that. Luke chapter, which one did you read last time? Matthew. Okay. Alright, let's go back there then. The book of Matthew chapter 10. Let's just go back there then. Now, because we read it extensively last time, I will not spend a lot of time reading it, alright? Okay, we'll start from verse 24. Like I said to you, because I spent we spent a lot of time looking at it last time, I'll just summarize quickly. From verse 24, he said, the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. So whatever it is that the master has suffered, the disciple shouldn't think that his own lot is going to be better. So that's what he said to them then. So he said to them, do not fear. Verse 26. Fear is the reason why you will not do the will of God for your life. Should I say that again? I think I should. What did I say? Fear is the reason why Christians don't do the will of God for their lives. There are many things people fear. One of the commonest fears these days is poverty. Do you hear what I said? That's one of the commonest ones. Poverty. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? When you fear, you can't do the will of God. If you are trying to make a decision, please bear this in mind. You know, people want to hear God. And God speaks. Help me. I know he's very smiling. He knows I'm stuck. Okay, but we need to tell the truth and help people, right? And when you have people gather like this, not everybody, you know, the Holy Spirit, there's something you want to teach. The Holy Spirit wants to tell two people something. And you can't say because of your teaching. They must not, about God go vex. So let me be safe. Amen. I want to play safe by just preaching what I want to preach. Amen. Now we'll get back to it in a moment, but I'm stuck on something. Let me quickly dispense of that and I get back to my message. People want to hear God when you have to make a decision. And then let me say this clearly to you. God speaks. Amen? Amen? He speaks. He communicates his will to people. different ways. And many times you will hear, did I say many times? Yes, many times. But it's not the commonest way. Many times you will hear the voice of God. God can lead you by your spirit. That means when you are sleeping, God can come out to you in a dream different ways. And you see that in the scriptures. There was a time Paul was confused as to where to go. Doors were closing for him. And then he dreamt, and a man was shouting, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And that was how God communicated with them that they had to go to Macedonia. God speaks in different ways. And one of the reasons why God will do that is if Macedonia is not on your way, and Macedonia is not a place you would have thought of, and Macedonia, you have no business in Macedonia apart from that specific ministry concerning which you never thought of Macedonia. So God will speak like that. He does. God communicates his ways through his will through different ways. But I want to just say this to us again. That is not the usual way. You will make 10 decisions in one day, but that experience may not happen to you more than once in 5 years. You must understand this. Does it mean we don't ask God to communicate his will? You will still ask him to communicate his will, and he will still communicate his will. But he does not always give instructions. What God does, what he prefers all the time, is to teach you what he calls precepts. That is, God expects that as you grow as a Christian, you start working out his will through reasoning. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying there. And that is why he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, once you are not the kind of person you used to be, you can just by using your mind decode what the will of God is in a particular situation. And if it is not his will, Oswald Chambers said, then he will come in and stop it. And of course, then he may have to interject by other manifestations. And that is why when you wake up in the morning, as a good Christian, God never tells you, brush your mouth. God doesn't say that to you, have a bath, put on clean clothes. He expects that unless I call you and I say, John the Baptist, into the wilderness, you should wear decent and neat clothes. That's just the way he does things. So, now that may sound like a very simple and, you know, I mean, we should know that, yes. But in a lot of things in life, that's how God expects it to be. Many times you have to give money. God doesn't want to talk to you, whether you should give money or not. He says, I've given you money, you've seen a need. So what communication are you looking for? You understand what I'm going to explain? Yeah, he does that. But occasionally, the need is equal to all the money you have and the one you're expecting. And those are the times he will specifically speak to you, because he doesn't normally, I mean, if I'm sitting down and the need arises, why should I give all my money to one particular? The other things happen in life. So at such times he may come through supernatural methods and indicate to you that give them everything. I say, they're asking for, let's say, just to illustrate, they're asking for 20,000. That's all. I don't even have of that. I have only 15. Say, there's another 5,000 that is coming. Promise it. It's unusual. I told this story many times. Kimberly Kay said she was preparing to go to church one day, and she just heard the voice clearly, either in her heart or in her ears, but it was so clear. He said, if people say they hear God, that is the closest I ever came to it. What did that voice say? Offer to double anything they give today in church. They were raising money for a special project in church. He said, to her, it was so strange. I never heard anything like that. And then she offered to double it. Normally in church, they will raise 5,000 naira on a very good day, or $2,000, sorry, I wanted to say. $2,000 or $5,000 on a very good day. But that day, maybe because of her offer, and she said, everybody, cash. The pastor said, please allow us till tomorrow. It's all right. You bring the cash either today or tomorrow. Cash, check. No pledges. And they counted the money. It came to be $106,000, which she had to double. For somebody who thought that what she would have doubled was $5,000. That's why God does such things. Don't say, if God doesn't speak to me, I won't cross the road. Maybe you don't have business on the other side of the road, so stay here. Because he's not going to say anything. If anything makes sense in the natural course of your life, God won't talk about it. Many of you, a man has come, marry me. Please, for those of you listening to this, maybe from here, we'll get back to our message. Let me just finish this one. Because I can feel the pull. I can feel the pull. People say, talk, preacher, preach it. I need to hear it. A man has come to you, marry me. He said, I'm waiting for God to talk. I said, all right, no problem. I am waiting for you to hear. Spiritual hearing, when it comes to Christians, is not, have you prayed enough? How many hours did you spend praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit began to speak? There's one man I'm listening to now, he preaches that thing, and I told Israel, I don't agree with him. Moses is not praying for many hours before the bone started, is it the bone that started bushing, or the bush that started burning? It was the bush that started burning. Are you getting my point? Samuel didn't know what they were talking about. Paul was going around fighting everybody. When God showed up physically, you getting my point? When God came to Paul in a dream, he was just wondering, where do we go? So you cannot say, you can't pray in tongues enough until you force the Holy Spirit to say something. If he won't talk, he go talk. If he not won't talk, he no talk. Not be by force. And the major reason why you don't hear his voice is not because he's not talking. Now, please, that here, hear the here in quotes, all right? The major reason is because your ears are blocked. And that's what I'm talking about. The reason why you don't discern the will of God is because your ears are blocked. What blocks the ears? Wrong ideas, wrong concepts, and what drove us into this? Fear. Fear. So if that fear is in your heart, pray for 1 million hours in tongues, in teeth, not only tongue, pray any way you like. He still can't see anything. You know why? You can't hear it. Not because he can't utter, but because you can't what? Hear. So if a Christian wants to know the will of God, you get spiritual earbud with wax solvent, clean your ear very well. And how, what is that? Is with the word of God, rearrange your thinking pattern. So back to that young woman. I've not forgotten you. Don't worry. I know you are there. So man comes and marry me. 6 months I've been praying to hear God. And you see, he hasn't spoken. Have you noticed? Now they don't say yes, so they won't know who you are. He hasn't spoken. It's been 6 months. You know why he has not said anything? Because he can't say anything, because you can't hear anything. Actually, what he wants to say, he has said. The problem right now, you can't hear because your ears are blocked. Why are your ears blocked? That's what we're getting to. You have looked at him. I like him, but he's from Anambra State and I'm from Enugu State. One of the most unbelieving ways to make a decision in life. I was cracking a joke. Where I went to preach just this afternoon, I said to them, that is how to go to hellfire. Now, not literally. Please, not literally. God will send you to hellfire because you didn't marry somebody. Do you hear what I said? In fact, whether you are single or not, you will still go to heaven. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. Just that when people say that is your braided hair and your earrings, they say that's the one that will send you to hellfire. Worldly. When you talk about worldliness, worldliness is how you think. Are you getting my point? You may not use the earring. You may not wear anything. You may just be a very simple guy or lady. But you are worldly. If a man drives up and you think the size of his car is a measure of his success, you are worldly, even though the car is not your own. Even though you don't even believe in buying that kind of car. But if the size of somebody else's car for you is a measure of success, you are worldly. How is your friend? Maybe I'm asking after a friend. He's doing well now. Maybe he's in ministry. He said, man, they are doing very well. They just built a 2,000-seat auditorium. My God, that guy is doing well. You are worldly. The size of the auditorium he managed to build does not in any way confer, it's not a measure of success. One day I was talking to one sister, asking after one brother. The brother had turned his name, you know, assuming that you knew a brother now. That time you knew him. His name was Olayenka Israel, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, how is Olayenka Israel? He said, he has moved to, let's take a country like U.S. How did he go? And I said, what is his name? You know, in the course of Jesus, if you phone him, don't call him Olayenka Israel. His name is now Chukwudi, what they call it, Joel, you know, that kind of thing. Say, okay, Chukwudi Joel Amadazun. He said, why? There was an arrangement with the journey. He had to do that. And I said, how is he doing? He said, he's doing fine. He has sent two cars home. He sent two cars home. I don't care what story you want to tell me. That change of name, unless he tells me when God told him, you shall change thy name. Or if he's to get papers for us to travel. Around nonsense. So if you judge the fact that he's doing well by the fact that he sent a few cars home, and last time he came, he was bouncing with some pair of jeans and better sneakers. He's not the problem. It's you I'm worried about, though. You that think he's successful because you think a man's life now consists in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You are the one that's worldly. So, why has God not spoken to me whether I should marry or not marry? Because you can't hear. Whatever I say, you will not hear it. Your mindset is formed by worldly standards, and for that reason, you can't hear what I want to say. What if I were to appear to you in a dream? Oh God, why don't you appear to me in a dream? Because you still won't hear it. That appearance in a dream will only increase your judgment. Because you will still disobey me, then I will not have more strikes against you. Now, why did I digress into that? You know, I just got stuck when I read the scripture here. Jesus said, therefore, do not fear them. The reason why people don't do what is right, the reason why people don't do the will of God is because of fear. That's one of them. He said, do not fear them. And what I'm bringing out the fact that is when people fear, that is the reason why they don't do the will of God. So God said to them simply, what I tell you in darkness, what I say to you in secret, you declare it openly. And then in summary, we said that when you are doing these kind of things, you will make enemies. And when you make enemies like that, it is the will of God. If you make enemies because of what you are going to get, it's not the will of God. If you do business, in the process you make enemies, that's not the will of God because you didn't pay one money fully. And sometimes let the people take the money, you relax. But when you make enemies, when there is separation between in intimate relationships, because you are declaring the truth of God, then that is the will of God. And Jesus said, for that reason you will experience separation between a man and his father. You will find separation between a daughter and her mother, and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And then in a family, you discover that everybody will be against this man because he's declaring the truth of God. The summary of this, therefore, is this. Now, verse 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That is, whoever would rather preserve those relationships rather than walk in a manner that is pleasing to me by declaring my truth all the time, is not worthy of me. He said, therefore, this is a summary of it. This is what you are going to be experiencing. It's called your cross. He said, he who doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life, he says, will lose it. That is, he who compromises these things so as to preserve his life will lose that life eventually. But he who has accepted the loss of his life for my sake will find it. Remember, I just wanted to read this so as to connect, all right? Now, remember, I started by explaining that Christianity is not marked by what you can get. It is marked by what? What you can give up. What you can release, all right? What you can release. It's not what you can get. It's not, you know, Christianity is not that by my faith, I acquired this house. By my faith, I was able to get this car. By my faith, you know, that's what we often testify, all right, about in Christianity. There was one lady I heard of, wife of a very well-known minister of the gospel, but there's no point in mentioning his name. I heard the testimony she gave once, that she would hear people testify. It was many years ago, so for her now and her husband, I know that money is now relatively small. But that time, the money was big. They would hear that people gave $100,000. She said she would sit down and say, somebody just gave an offering, $100,000. Now, wow. So one day she sat down and said, God, where am I now in all of these things? So she made up her mind, me too, I will give 100,000 naira. And then one day, God arranged events, and the 100,000 naira dropped into her hand. First opportunity, she gave it. And what was her testimony? Praise the Lord. I was able to release 100,000 naira. That is Christianity. You know, you rarely hear that kind of testimony. You rarely hear it. What you hear most of the time is that, look, praise God. Yesterday, I sowed a seed. Today, it germinated. Obviously, that's not a seed. You'll see that germinated overnight. Which kind of magic is that one? Now, Jack, you know, Jack and the beanstalk, yes. That's not Christianity. If you give, all right? You don't come and harass us that I gave 5,000 naira yesterday. Today it became 500,000 naira. I don't believe you anyway. You know, I told you before. I don't believe you. But Pastor Mark, it really happened. You gave 5,000, agreed. You got 500,000 today, agreed. Are they tied? No. Do such things happen once in 1,000 years? And that your own is not one of them. Pastor Mark, how are you so sure? I want you to doubt it so that you won't do it again tomorrow. It's you. It's because of you I'm saying these things. Because when you do like that, you start believing things that are not true, and it won't help you. Tomorrow you go and give that 500,000. I actually heard a man say in their church, they used to preach that one to them, that you can pledge 5 million as an example. Then you take 5,000 and sow it. It will become 50,000. Then you sow the 50,000, it will become 500,000. You sow the 500,000, it will become 5 million. Then you come and pay God. I said, God, no, Alan, since you are the one that would do it, let me just give you the 5,000. They multiply them by yourself. You don't need to return it to me. Since I have to give you back anyway, just hold it. So it's very easy. Just tell the pastor, say, that 5 million, I don't pledge it. But according to your principle, let me hold this 5K. I put that for offering basket. As God is multiplying it, it's your own. Don't worry. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, just to summarize why I went into that. Christians, all right? Just give because you want to give. Do you understand? And if you want something from God, ask because He loves you. And He will always answer you. Are you getting my point? All right, so back to the point I was trying to make. Listen, people often forget to give the real testimony. The real testimony, it's not as if you are bragging about it anyway. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people don't bother. But the real testimony is what you can give, not what you can get. That's the real testimony of Christianity. And that's why Jesus described this, that as a believer in Christ Jesus, we're talking about the cross of Christ, all right? That the cross of Christ often would demand that you lose something. Christianity does not always make you gain. It doesn't always make you gain, outwardly speaking. A lot of times what it does is to remove from you. You are going to come from maybe you're a believer, you're from a very influential family. Your father's name opens doors. And God says to you simply, now you are going to stop using that name to open doors for yourself. Are you getting my point? When you go in there, you have to downplay that name. Any door that it will open for you, I am not the one opening it. It gets to that particular point as a believer. And God says, don't draw back. Let me explain something to you. Like I said, there are two things I'm talking about today. One, counting your possessions. And two, living a life of what? Purpose. Those are the two things I'm talking about today. All right? Because that's what Christianity is. In fact, that's the summary of it. Living a life of purpose. Paul says something. At that cross, and I said it before, it was not just Jesus that died. We also died with him. At that cross, our former selves died with him. Our ambitions died with him. The things we were living for died with him. But once we rose up from that particular place, we are now living a resurrected life. And that life is not yours. My own is not mine. It is now the life of Christ. It is the life of God. The life I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's read this scripture, which I love very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one I love so very much, which I quote a lot. You will see something here, and this is how the life of a Christian is. I'm going to verse 15 first, but let's back up. I'm trying to find a place to start reading from. Let's start from verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body," that is what he did in the flesh, "according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences." He said, "We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart." He said, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." He said, "Therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even that Christ Jesus, we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. This is all we know. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And he continued to speak. But let me pause here. Now, my main scripture, which I wanted from there, is that verse 15. But you read it in context. What Paul was trying to explain is that whatever we are doing because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. If we are doing this, it's for two reasons. One, we are doing it for God. Two, we are doing it for you because you are the ministry that God committed into our hands. That's what he was trying to explain. So whatever it is that we are doing because we recognize one principle. And that's the fact that Jesus died for all, therefore all died. Their lives have come to an end. Their own ambitions came to an end. What they personally would have loved to accomplish came to an end. But everything they are doing now, they are doing, you know, that's verse 15. He said he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Please, this series of messages is where I want to end it, to challenge every believer to live their lives as a life of purpose. Now, let me explain something. Because this is what the world teaches us. The world doesn't understand anything beyond that which it can see on this earth. Is a man successful? Yes. How do you know? If you get to his village, he has a very big house. If you get to Lagos, he has a very big house. If you see, two of his children are in school, they are in school abroad. He himself, he's very settled. You see, when you want to describe a man who's successful, we count all the things he has achieved. And you see, human beings, this is what they do. Have you seen people send you maybe a mail? See, there are titles. Oh my God. Titles, you know, ABC, XYZ, you know, EBV, HIV, some of my chiefs I used to crack jokes like that. Now, so people do that. They write all their titles. A friend of mine drove me the other day. He told me that the way this man behaves, he's not sure this guy is totally all right. He drove me to the man's car park, and the man wrote his name and put under it, "Full Professor." Human beings often have a problem, you know. Their titles give them identity. Make them feel good. You know, Paul says something, "I don't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified." Now, I'm not bragging on myself or anything, but if you read my books, that's why all you find in there as my profile is he's a teacher of the word of God. Why? That's why you bought the book. If I was an architect, it would have been okay. You would still have come here. If you heard that I'm just a professional, you know, have you seen that joke? You know, there's, I don't know how many of you have seen that joke. They ask me, "What do you do?" You say, "I'm a professional." You know, anything. A professional can do anything. If you heard I was a professional, doesn't matter to you. You didn't come here because of any other thing than the word that this man is preaching. The the natural qualification does not add anything to it. Personally, I enjoy the knowledge I've gleaned from being a medical person, all right, and my work in the university, because it helps me to explain some things. But that's not what qualifies me, you know, to teach the word of God. It's not. It's not. If I have a doctor of divinity, in fact, which I do not have, and I'm so happy, I'm in a profession where I'm not officially certified. Are you qualified to teach? Just listen to two of my messages. You decide. Which theology school did you go to? Just buy two of the books. Sit down, read. If you are not touched, I wasn't sent to you. Give it back to me. Are you getting my point? No. And there's no quarrel about it. There's no quarrel about it. And when I say no quarrel, I'm not angry. I am not angry. You know, I am one person that, if you come for Bible studies for some time, then I don't see you here anymore. Out of courtesy, and not courtesy, out of concern, I will ask you, is everything okay? Once you tell me everything is okay, I'll leave you alone. My reason is simple. If you have listened to me for some time, then we'll decide whether I have a message for you or I don't. And I am not the only preacher on this earth. And that is why I'm so happy to spread messages. I mean, those who are close enough to me, or if you come around the office enough, you know, anytime I get a new message and I'm blessed by, I bring it here. Hey, Israel, take. Hey, Bishop, have you listened to this? I mean, that's what I do. I can't teach you everything. There are words that God gave Kenneth Hagin, and it's from his mouth I heard them. You to hear it direct, I can report it to you. But I think it would be better if you hear it direct from his mouth. I get his messages, I give it to you. So, if you are listening to me for some time, I see you in Bible study, after a while I don't see him. I just confirm that you are okay. Once I'm sure you are okay, I just feel like you are an adult. So, my only prayer for you is I hope you are going somewhere else to hear the word of God. That's my attitude. That's why, you know, I've seen pastors quarrel, members. You know, there are things I can't quarrel over. I don't have the capacity. Not as if I'm too righteous. So, don't be saying, you know, Pastor Bank is a very righteous man. No, it's not about righteousness. It's common sense. It's common sense. Once they came to John the Baptist, have you heard? Heard what? Hey, that's your cousin. These cousins are not loyal. The fact that you are related doesn't mean anything. You baptized him here. Is that not true? You were the one that ordained him to ministry. The man is down the road gathering a congregation bigger than yours. And they were very angry and they were jealous for his sake. What did they say? A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Did I not tell you that I am not the one? That one mightier than I is coming? Did I not tell you that I must decrease and he must increase? What I like about it is that a man can receive what? Nothing. That's my attitude. And like they say in Eastern Nigeria here, come walk, come chop. You know, they're two different things. Not be the same thing. As far as I'm concerned, when I say come for Bible studies, is what? Come chop. If a person say, he not hungry, must I force feed him or her? So if you're a pastor, please tell your pastor. No, they don't fight over our congregation. Unless you think it is come work. You know, of course, maybe some people is come work. The lower the number of people, the less the cri-cri will they drop inside the basket. So that's what causes quarrels. How did I get into that? What was I talking about? I'm talking about qualification. I didn't forget. So for me, that's how it is. I don't need to present to you my experience, where I was certified. Am I called to ministry? Take my book. Read it. If it blesses you, I was called to your ministry. You get my point? I was called to minister to you. If it doesn't bless you, give me back. There's no quarrel in it. And that's how life is. People use, you are a professor in a university. You write a book on the word of God and you give us the details of your academic publication that you did in microbiology or in physical sciences. How does that qualify you to teach the word of God? I don't know. He has published this amount of books and this and this and that. At the end of the day, what is all these publications? It's academic. It's science. It's not a bad thing. I have scientific publications also. If I give you my list, you'll ask, Pastor, this is not only Bible with a preacher. I also have. But it doesn't feature in the other area because it's of no consequence. But human beings often like to drop every natural qualification they have as if that's supposed to give them, you know, spiritual validation. That is not working according to the principle of the cross of Christ. That's the point I'm making. It is not. It is not at all. Now, so we're saying, so that's what the cross of Christ is. At that point, the natural person comes to an end. And Paul said, henceforth, we don't know any man after the flesh. I was saying something. So the natural human being, all right, they use material things to try and give life value. Yeah, that's what I was saying. And that is why people strive for it. There are things I told you before, there are things I hear, and I'm wondering that, how do you manage? Everything you do as a believer, now listen to this, we're talking about the old man is dead, now you are living a life, okay, that is the life of God. It means that you are not your own. Every single thing you do in life as a believer must be done by purpose, as a purpose. That is, what I mean is this. You realize that God sent me to do something and you don't ever do anything for personal gain. You know, I listened to Kenneth Hagin and he validated something that I had done before, which I'm sure we learned from people like him anyway. Are you getting my point? Yes. And then he also corrected me further and helped me consolidate some things I'm supposed to do. Now, I told you sometime, was it last week I said it, that two of our books, How to Work for God and Should I Say Yes, that in a short while you will get it free by email. Can you remember? That is, you can download the full book, nothing removed. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, I was not listening to Kenneth Hagin just about 2 days ago. And he said something, that he did not write a book for 9 years simply because at the beginning somebody said you should write a book, you'll make a lot of money. I don't know what I said. Somebody said to him, you should write a book, you'll make a lot of money. He said, once he heard, you'll make a lot of money, he refused to write. Every time he wants to write, he'll remember that he'll make a lot of money, he'll stop. He said he fought that thing until he was so sure that he's not writing so as to make a lot of money. That was when he finally wrote the book. And after that, he ensured that all the royalties, everything, is plowed into the ministry and all of that. That's the way he handled it, all right? I'm not saying everybody should follow his own. But being a preacher, being a minister of the gospel, he decided that it is not right for him to write a teaching of the word of God so as to make money. Now, please, I'm not giving laws about this. I'm not being dogmatic that you must. There are those who have, you know, made a lot of money. Rick Warren wrote a book, Purpose-Driven Life. He made, I've forgotten how many, he sold, I think, 15 million copies. And he got a lot of money. And what did he do with the money? When he made a lot of money, he said, first thing, he ensured that he did not buy anything. No major purchases. You know, buy a big thing, buy a Cadillac, private jet. And he said he didn't buy anything. He made sure his life did not change. That was number one. Then he had pastored for like 24 years in that church. He calculated all the money they had paid him. It was less than the money he made, so he paid the church back. Then he took the rest of the money, most of it, he set up a foundation to help people, young ministries and stuff. And then that was the end of it. So that's how the money. So before he made a lot of money, and after he made a lot of money, it was the same requirement that you always knew. He went to the same places, ate the same food, drove the same kind of cars, lived the same kind of house. But this time around, he had a lot of money. But you wouldn't see any difference in him. Is he successful? I'm not judging Rick Warren. I don't know him in details. But he was not more successful after he made a lot of money than a month before he made a lot of money. That's what you need to understand. Because a lot of money does not judge whether you are successful or not. A man's life, and when the Bible says man, don't say me, at least I'm a woman, thank God. It doesn't apply to me. That is the way God, the Bible talks about mankind. If any man is in Christ, he's a woman too. Are you getting my point? So that man is for you, both male and female, all right? Male and female created he them and called their name Adam. That's the Bible, all right? Okay? So everybody is man in that category. So he says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses, which means you cannot judge how successful you are or you are not by what you have or you don't have. You can't. Don't even try. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. And very importantly, don't even judge somebody else by it. Don't. And that's how you know you are not really, that is, don't judge somebody else by it. That young woman that I was talking about to earlier, she's still around. I don't know who you are, just joking, all right? So, assuming there were two brothers who want to marry you. One, you check outwardly. He has every material thing. The other one does not have. I'm not telling you to be spiritual now. Say, no, me, this is don't matter to me. That's not what I'm talking about. Let it matter to you for a moment, all right? Just wait. But no matter how much it matters to you, it has no meaning. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. I'm not saying close your eyes. I'm telling you, you cannot decide who will be a better husband. I want to say better husband in every ramification. Who will make you happier, be a better father for your children, and take you to those places all over the world you always wanted to go to. You cannot judge at that moment. Let it matter to you. I'm not saying, let's say, okay, you know me. So that's not what I'm talking about, whether I just don't like those things. No. The issue is that as a matter of fact, you can't, you see, it's like saying, man, this guy has a lot of cotton wool. When he was coming to my house, he carried 2 bales of cotton wool. That's the amount of value the money has. It's vanity. So he had a truckload of ice block following him inside the sun. It will melt. That's what it means. Vanity. Especially for us believers. So when you are assessing your life, let's get back to you now, your own personal life, don't even, that's Christianity I'm talking about, judge whether you are successful or not by the amount of material things you possess. You know why this is crucial? You know why it's crucial? You know why it's crucial? We understand it. Because when we understand it, it allows us to work according to purpose. It's not those material things I'm even concerned about now. It's how you are what? Walking. Which direction are you going? If you fully, you know what? I said, I explained something. He said, therefore, do not fear them. I said, fear is the reason why people don't do the will of God. So when we fully understand, that people say that, can you imagine a man, you did not own a house, and you were on this earth, so what? It's not a big deal. Oh God, in all honesty, it's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. And I can prove it to you. You don't know whether Paul had a house or he did not. Okay, but we don't know whether somebody dashed him one. It's possible. Somebody could have dashed him one when he used to come to Macedonia. Say, Pastor, let's assume it's today's day. Pastor Paul, anytime you come to town, this should be your house. And Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul, I assume it's today. If it's today, we'll be calling him pastor. He will collect the house, hold the keys. Anytime he's going, say, okay, Timothy, send men ahead to clean the house. We are coming. It's possible. We don't know. But that is irrelevant in the history of Paul today. For a Christian, this is how we handle life. Everything is a matter of what? Purpose. It's a matter of use. Everything is a tool. We don't acquire things, we use them. Let me say it again. We don't acquire things, what do? We use them. That is why as a Christian, I've seen Christian books who say it is the right thing to do. Christians don't save for the rainy day. No. As a believer, you can't. You shouldn't. You don't save for the rainy day. The commandment for believers is sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Is it that? Does it mean therefore, anytime you get money, you blow it? No, I didn't say that. If you give me 100 million naira today, it will probably still be remaining next year. Why? I'm not spendthrift. I don't waste money. And listen, when it comes to giving as an example, just to explain it properly also, you also don't give recklessly, just like you don't spend recklessly. When you spend money on yourself, you're supposed to be calculated and purposeful. Understand what you are doing. When you are giving also, it's like that. I like Warren Buffett in that regard. Warren Buffett said he discovered that giving out money is just as difficult as making money. He wasn't talking about just handing it out. To be purposeful, to understand where it is going, how it's going to help somebody. He said it takes a lot of energy. So that was why when he found that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they had started to do it. He said, good. This is one thing I don't know how to do, but they know how to do it. So he gave them 85% of all the money he had, and he was the richest man in the world, or at least second or third richest at that particular point in time. Because he said, giving out money is as difficult as making money. I have the skill for making money, but I do not have the skill for giving it out. So let me give it out to the person who has the skill. So you see, he had the heart to give it out. His how-to, he did not know. He said, okay, let me give it to the person who knows how to. So I'm bringing an issue here. So I'm not saying be spendthrift. You also have to be purposeful. So if you give me 100 million naira today or 500 million, I'm not going to blow it entirely because it is going to be, that would be prodigal. You know, there are people who do prodigal giving. There's prodigal spending and there's prodigal giving. One of my friends, he said that he knew somebody, a close relative, that the guy was always broke and in debt. And he used to wonder, how did the guy used to get that broke? I asked him, I said, is the guy on drugs? He said, no, you know now, I'm a doctor. If he's on drugs, I will know. I said, so how is this your guy always get? He said, hey, this is what he does. Maybe he goes to go and drink. Guys are in the beer parlor, they are drinking. Somebody will come to him and say, so he asked somebody, say, let's use a hypothetical name. Like, give me a name. Fred, all right? So Fredo. So how you doing with your business? Yeah, I'm trying to open a shop. I don't know. I'm just trying to. I say, okay, how much do you need to pay the rent? I said, 200,000. I said, okay, send me on Monday. I'll give it to you. Everybody will hail him. Hey, boy. You know that kind of thing. Oh, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. What is he doing? He doesn't know what Fredo does, what he wants to sell. He just has to make a statement to everybody around Fredo that he's the Don. Are you getting my point? Yeah, the Don said, see me on Monday. So on Monday, Fredo will come and he will hand Fredo that 250,000 naira, which he doesn't have, which he borrowed, but he has to make a statement. That's what I call prodigal giving. What did I call it? So I'm not telling Christians to be prodigal in their giving. Not at all. I am just saying that we understand that everything we have as believers, all right, was given for a purpose. So we don't acquire things, we use them. We use them. We use them. Very important. And what do we use them to do? Right, to live life, a life that is being lived in the service of the will of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That the way Christians live the way we live our lives, we don't have the same standards as the world. You know, you hear me say this a lot of times. People say, people buy private jets. Why are they using private jets? You know, there are things, may God deliver you from poverty permanently. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. In fact, okay, no, that's not a good prayer. You have been delivered permanently from poverty.
Amen.
So you will not do poverty talking.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Poverty talk is, say, what are they doing with private jets? There are two ways to ask that question. If you are being critical in that question, it's poverty talking. If you are curious, say, good morning, sir. Please, I want to know, what do you do with private jet? That's a good question. You know, Mary said, how shall this thing be? And she survived. One woman said, hey, how shall this thing, can this thing be? He died. You get my point? The two questions were similar, but they had a different heart. Are you getting my point? So, if you're asking that kind of question, wanting to know, that's good. Because those who are going to private places, and they have private resources, they should fly private jets. If they need a private time to do private things. And like I always say, your car is somebody's private jet. Yeah. Okay, you take 5 million naira, you buy a car, to you is nothing. But that's somebody's private jet. So let those who want to use it, let them use it. But the point I'm making is that for us believers, it is never a statement, guys, have you seen my private jet? Let's go and see it. For you, it is a means of transportation in being more efficient in fulfilling the will of God for your life. Now, I'm sure we already understand it, but let me just emphasize it. I told you, we drove in, I got down from the car now, 5:02. I was supposed to start preaching here, 5 o'clock dot. For those of you who were behind me on the staircase, that's why I was walking slowly. I was deliberately, I know some of you were like, Pastor Ron, now we're almost late. But I was walking slowly, so I won't be panting when I get off here, before I start preaching. So I took my time to walk up slowly. Now, imagine if I had to wait for Peace Mass Transit. I was coming from Newe, that's why I just finished preaching. And when I say finish preaching, I just left, as I dropped the mic, I walked straight out to the car. Handed some things to the young men in the car, and then we started coming. What if I had to wait for Peace Mass Transit? You know I won't be here today. By now, see the train driver, hurry now, I'm supposed to preach somewhere now. Now, from Newe to this place with the car, it looks okay, not prepared, just a car now. Some people also have to fly like that. And if they have to fly commercial, they will miss all the next meetings that they have been booked for. So if the meetings are important and the resources are available, it is just common sense for them to have their private jet. For the believer, it's simply what? A tool, and we use it. And that is why, if today we don't need it anymore, we gladly drop the keys for whoever needs it, we walk away from it and go back to where, go to the place of a new assignment that does not require it. This is how Christians handle life. A Christian can never stand and be counting, I have a private jet, I have a villa in, what's the name of that place? In Dubai. I have one here, I have one here. See, you must be careful in life as a Christian. Anything you have to tell people about so that you know you have it, just know you don't need it. Go and sell it. I don't know whether I get my point. When it becomes bragging rights. Yeah, you don't need it. Christians should do it. You see, those of you who know me enough, you should know the kind of person. I think I'm really a free person. I don't have a lot of hassles in there. Why should a Christian do Jerry calls? It's because you don't like straight hair. Do Jerry calls. What's my problem? No, it really doesn't concern me. No. You come for Bible study, your hair is Jerry called. Well, I just wonder, are you okay? You say yes. Okay, I mean, honestly, it doesn't worry me. I just confirm that you're okay. Once you're okay, it doesn't bother me. No. But you see, having said that, sometimes as a believer, you have to be careful when you're acquiring material things. I cannot judge each individual. I can only teach the principles of God. I think a lot of material acquisitions that unbelievers do and the church gets involved in is ungodliness. Yeah. That's about all I can say about that. You have to be careful. If you're not using a car, what are you doing with it? What should I do with it? Keep it until you find somebody who needs it. That's my principle. I will not buy a house that, one, I don't need, and I can't explain how owning it is helping me or anybody more than the fact that I will give it to my children. That's nonsense. I will not build a house now hoping to give to my children. The day I build it, I hand you the keys. That is, you are big enough to own it. If you are not, I will give those. You know, don't forget, you are not the only one of God's children that I know. You are just the one specifically sent into my house for training. Remember, I started by saying the fact that you are all children of God. I will give it to somebody else. And this, you must understand, I'm serving a living God. That's not a joke. I am serving a living God who gave me the capacity to build a house today. Therefore, since it's not going to get tired, I can build another one tomorrow when you become of age to collect your own. So if I build a house to give someone, say, this one is for my children. I have more children than the one that my wife personally delivered. That is a matter of fact. I'm explaining a principle that Christians, when we're talking about counting your possessions, it's very important. People often count their possessions the way the world does, and it is wrong. Let me say something to you. This life is temporal. Everything you see here, the chair you are sitting on, the clothes you are wearing, the car you drove down here, all right? The stuff, the bank, the money you have in your bank, the land you bought. You know, I even like that land, don't you? You know why I like it? You can buy it today, tomorrow. One governor will just sign something. Signature. You don't own the land again. They didn't do that to collect it. They just signed something. Overriding public interest. You don't have land anymore. And the one I like most is El-Rufai. El-Rufai is a messenger of God. I think Christians should realize that this is just brick and mortar. It's iron rod. It's not the house of God. So God sent El-Rufai to demolish it. I say, how can you demolish the house of God? It's not the house of God. It's an assembly hall. It's brick and mortar. It's not more anointed than the mango tree in front of it. So when the man pulled it down, I said, It was a good lesson for my brethren that use all kinds of money, all kinds of methods to raise money to build grass. All houses are what? Grass. Cash, material cash, that is physical cash, you know, cash. That was another useless one. If you keep it at home, it loses value on a daily basis. If it's in your house, by tomorrow it's less valuable than it was today. If you keep it in the bank, you wake up more money. Really, these are the decrees of the Almighty. You put your money in the bank, it can disappear. One man will just steal the money, and there's nothing you are going to do. And the only one that is insured is 50,000 naira. So if your money was 2 million, they give you 50,000 back. The rest, you may get it back if they are able to do some arrangements after 10 years. By which time, if really you were a blessed person, you should have made it back. And if you were so unblessed, you should have committed suicide. That is, all flesh is what? Grass. Some people say that, buy gold. That's the one that makes me laugh. Buy the gold, keep it somewhere. Where is it that thieves cannot break in and steal? Listen, children of God, please stop counting your possessions in material things. They are not worth anything. Everything is to be what? Used. See everything as a way of doing something. I remember when we taught spiritual economics. People say, save up for your future. You can put money inside a bank. Stock market. I said, I don't believe in this. Put money inside stock market for the future. Then one day we did spiritual economics. And the Bible says, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. It says, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God answered and said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. And what was God saying? In that economy, sow in it. And at that time, Charles Soludo said every bank should consolidate by being capitalized to the tune of 25 billion naira of that time. And I preached from here, I said, because it's our economy, I want our banks to be strong. It is our duty as Nigerians to give them the money to make it up to 25 billion. That was the first time in my life I bought shares in anything. First time. And the share price will go up and come down. And go up, and go up, and go up, and go up, and nosedive, and nosedive. Someone said, let's do business. I said, listen, I forgot. Now, you must understand that in my mind, it's write off money. I don't know whether I get my point. No, I'm very good with writing money off. Hey, I'm very good with it. Oh, Father, thank you for that grace. No, it's a grace that God has given me. May you have it also. Amen. And when you lose money, just shake your head like this. It's not money. I know one thing about those things. They are spiritual. Yeah. The real substance that brings that money, you can't steal it from me. So if you take the outward manifestation, it will grow back. The root is there. You just chopped a branch. And sometimes I actually do this once in a while. I prophesy the thing to grow back. Yes, I'm not joking. Which kind of loss is this one? This money be refunded. It will come back in different ways. Listen, for us Christians, that's what I'm talking about. Material things, is not how we judge whether we are successful or we have failed. I need to finish my message today, and my time has already gone far. How do we judge whether we have succeeded? How do we judge whether we have failed? How do we count our possessions? In my life, what have I achieved? I'll tell you the truth, personally. In fact, you know, in life, you know they call Pareto principle. 20%, is it 80%? How does it come again? Anyway, let me put it like this. You know the things that are giving you fruit in life. Don't spend your energy on the one that's not producing. There are many things I do, many of you know. But personally, all right, what is most important is the ministry of the word, teaching. So that's always primary. It's always the first and every other thing follows behind. And I have discovered that it is wise for me to spend more energy on it. Do you know why? Every day, almost, I go to places. You have been a tremendous blessing. I listened to this message. Oh, it changed my life. My phone rang the other day. There was a couple I met when I went to preach in Asaba. And the wife called, you know, the phone rang, I picked the call. And she was shouting, yay, this book, this, you know, she downloaded a book and was reading it. And was screaming. Since I read the book, I've not been at ease. Oh, I've been praying since that time. Oh, pastor, God will bless you. God will increase you. God will bring people to support you. And she was blessed. I said, amen, amen. Oh, this is so good. And book. We ended the call. And I lifted my hands and worshiped the Lord. I travel, I come down. Oh, Pastor Banky, so happy to meet you. There was something you said. Since that time, my life has not been the same again. Ah. I said, I told my wife, we are walking. I don't know whether you get the point. Listen, you know the interesting part? Nobody has ever checked, sir, did you track down or which kind of car are you using? I don't know whether you got that. Nobody has asked, what is your correct title? You know, I like that name, Pastor Banky. I like it. It's a nice name. It even rhymes. Very funky. But why do I like it? Because it emphasizes the most important thing that I do in my life. That's why I like it, actually. That's what I'm talking about. All right, because I understand the scriptures. The word pastor is not for the church administrator. We use these days to just identify anybody who's in ministry. But it's actually meant for somebody who teaches the word of God, who instructs people in the way of God. So I will give you pastors after my own heart. And what will they feed you with is knowledge and understanding. All right? So that's why I like the title. So personally, that's what I count. I personally, in fact, if a whole year passes and I don't meet people who have been transformed by the word I preach, I'll go and pray. Even now that I'm meeting them all the time, I still pray some more. And listen, for that reason, it is more important to me that I spend energy to achieve more and more of that, because I have come to understand that that is my purpose. The other things that God will do with my life, which I have not yet stepped into, and I don't know them yet, is stage by stage. In the stage where we are in right now, that is what's most important. And that's why when they told Kenneth Hagin, write a book, you will make money. And he refused to write, not because the writing is bad, but because he said the motivation is wrong. And for me, therefore, people say that, I've heard people say, how do you market your materials and all of that? I said, no, it's easier for me to put it on the website and you download it directly. Do you know why? How do I count whether I'm successful or I'm not? It is the number of people that download, listen to, and are transformed by it. Therefore, I will not put any obstruction between them and their ability to contact the materials. If money will be the obstruction, I'll remove it. The major reason, there are two reasons, all right? Why we don't just hand out our materials free is simply because I want people to place value on it. One of the reasons why I demand you come and, you know, buy the book is because you will decide whether you want it or you don't want it. And I say, but on the internet it's free. Internet, to reach the internet is not free for you. I hope you know that. It's an effort. You have to go in there, log in, and a lot of us have to pay for that connection, and you download the materials. All right? It's costing you money. For me, you have placed enough value on it. That's because that's the major reason. The second reason is that, well, maybe that's not a very good reason, but let me just explain it. It's because it's going to be a lot of cost on us personally to be doing that. So bear some of the cost if it's valuable to you. Just bear some of the cost. And that is why we gladly package 10, 15 messages on one CD and say buy it for 150 naira. For Americans, that's $1. And you get 15 messages for $1. That means we are not trying to make money from the material. Nothing wrong with making money for it if you like to make money from your own. But for me, because I am counting how effective my life is, and the money that's coming in, and you know God is good. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I prayed long ago that Kingdom World Ministry will not lack money, and I will not have to be paying Kingdom World Ministry's expenses from my pocket. It's a prayer I prayed very long ago. And God answered it long ago too. But I answered it immediately. And the manifestation has been with us for many years. So it would be crazy on my part. And listen to me. If I want a house in Dubai, you know what I'm going to do? I will go and ask the Lord for it. He knows I won't ask because I don't go to Dubai. And I say, so if you sell your books, you'll be able to buy a house in Dubai. No. If I want a house in Dubai, and it's very serious to me, and I think it's crucial for my ability to rest. You know, say go outside and rest for a while. And I say, God, this is where I want to be resting for a while. No, Dubai is not a good example. Because it's not a place I want to go and rest, you know. It's a personal thing, all right? Okay, let's say United States. One of my friends, I told him once, I don't know what I told him. Yes, well, I told my wife. He's a very good friend, very good friend. I said, one day, whatever he's staying in the U.S., I'll probably buy a house close to his own. So that my wife, my children can be going all the time. I said, even if I don't buy it, then anytime I want to come, we'll tell him to look for a house nearby. So we'll rent it for a 1 month period. So that we can relax and play with him. I'm glad to be our spot for traveling all over the United States if we have to do that. And where will you get the money from this thing when the time comes? Let me tell you how I do such things. I just start meditating about it. Say, Lord, this thing go good. Once I say go good, and I'm convinced. Normally, I don't even know what happens. When it has finished happening, I now remember, oh, yeah, we said we'll do this thing years ago. It has nothing to do whether I sell books or I don't sell books. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, I'm going to emphasize something. As a Christian, we don't count our possessions by material things. There's something I wanted to talk about, but my time is up, so I'll probably pick it up from there because I feel like describing it again. In the life of Christians, a time is going to come. Now, a lot of believers are going to have much more money than they need. Yes. That is, if you wanted to drive a Lamborghini, you have money for four. If you said you wanted to build a duplex in Independence Layout, you have money to build 10 of it. That's really where the temptations come from in life. That's when you start asking yourself, what am I really living for? And let me tell you, the only reason why God does that is because somewhere around, there will be somebody or a cause, do you understand, that needs money. And let me tell you ahead of time, it's your duty to be diligent in ensuring that that extra money, you're not now laying it up for yourself when my children grow up, you know. You can't use the money that God gave you to do something else to cause problems for your children. Because it's a problem. You lay it up for them, it's a problem. Listen, if you are good with talking and teaching, it is because God wants you to talk and teach. And your life as a believer, you must do it. If you are good with counseling people, please, you have to use that gift because you are not living for yourself. You know, I'm saying many things. My wife and I talked this morning. I want to talk about waiting on your gift, being very careful. We'll go on into that maybe next time. This issue, waiting on your gift, being very careful to ensure you do what God wants you to do. My wife and I discussed something this morning. I was just telling her a story of one man who they say he's a pastor today. And one of our friends said that the man confessed that the reason why he decided to become a pastor is because he used to be a music minister. I think he still is, all right? I don't know much about him. But I said he would go for meetings those days. And then they sang one of his songs for me. And I realized that as a student, I remember 1989, all right? It's one of the music we're jamming in school. You know it by jamming. That's, you know, as young boys now, we go to fellowship. We really liked it. I said, he was the one that sang that song? They said, yes. I said, yeah. 89 till now. Imagine how long ago? Quite some time. That's 25 years, all right? He said, he's a pastor. How's the church? The church, they try. Are you getting my point? He said, why did he start a church? I'm going to, that's the gist. He said, it's because those days you go and minister, they treat the pastors with a lot of respect. Man of God, sit over here. Man of God. They, you know, somebody will carry your bag. They will man of God you. Treat you very well. But him, they didn't treat him with as much honor. As, after a while, I said, look, I'll be minister like these people now. Say, the problem is that I don't get church, Abby. Now the man will start church. My wife said, it's funny. Because now, preachers are now complaining that the musicians are the ones that get treated extra. Yes. Let me not even go there. I know many of them. When you drop money, half a million before they talk to you. Meanwhile, if you like, preach 4 days seminar. Oh, you men of God. Do this work because you like it too. If not money, they find. Oh boy, go sell recharge card. You will sweat, you know. Preach. Preach. One day, but there's one joke I like to crack once in a while. I went to preach somewhere. Five good sessions. Correct word. I didn't have recorder at that time. And those kinds of way you go preach, finish, put for MP3, share with guys. Solid word. Correct word. In fact, one of the days, I finished preaching. One man was so blessed. He came out. He saw the books, our books displayed outside. He said, how much is everything? They told him the money. He paid. Took one copy each of the materials. And said, they should go and share everything else. I said, how blessed it was. I finished preaching. Now, I don't preach for money. I thank God for it. I'm not bragging. Just a matter of fact. Okay? So the man went and they said, thank you very much. You're such a blessing for helping us. Now give me an envelope. So thank you for coming. You know, that kind of thing. So I opened the envelope. Now, it's not a big deal. I mean, listen, I went to preach somewhere one day. So like, you know, it's not a big deal. One day, I went to preach somewhere. The guy had, at the time he finished there, when they finished, they gave me an envelope containing money. I took it with the right hand, passed it to the left hand, and gave it back to them. I didn't check what it was. I don't know. And they were like, no, sir, please. So I said, listen, what this guy is doing, I believe in it. Do you understand? I would have loved to contribute money, but I didn't contribute. Now that I have come to let my preaching be my contribution. It's not a big deal. We'll talk tomorrow. Now, this is, I'm telling the story. As I was leaving, one young girl, not to say young lady, you think saying a lady, girl. She walked up to me, good afternoon, sir. That you've been such been an inspiration. That she prayed with her. I prayed with her. When I finished, she gave me a 100 naira offering. I collected it, put it in my pocket. 100 naira. The money that guy gave me was in an envelope, was in thousands. Was what? 100 naira. I chopped that one like Elijah. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, I collected it, pocketed it, was happy with it. It's the kind of money that I won't give anybody. That kind of money, I will deliberately buy groundnut on the road so that I know that young lady, as I'm eating it, you are blessed in Jesus' name. So at the end of this, I opened the envelope, it was 5,000 naira. My wife said, hey, 1 naira, 1,000 per hour. That is the joke in it, because I preach five sessions, that is. On Sunday, I preach twice, you know. I preach on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yes, preach there, finish preaching there. No, I came here first, finished preaching. I finished on time and drove there because they said they will start a bit late. And preached, and Sunday morning, I was there. In the evening, they had a special program. I came. By the time, you know this kind of when you finish preaching there? Virtue, you know, virtue had left. My wife said, very good. 1,000 naira session. Why I'm telling the story is that, listen, if it was a musician, That's what I'm telling you, sorry. Number one, nobody's giving you 5 sessions, musician. You get your time. You show up for 1 session, drop the guy. If he's a nice guy, 200K. One day, my wife and I go, they do program. The MC is saying, in fee now, 50K. I said, when I not call you in car? MC fee, 50 by. Now, why am I telling the story, all right? The most important reason I'm telling you is that that brother, you remember him? Who decided to start pastoring? Because that time, that's the main gist. That time, those who were singing were not highly esteemed. So the man abandoned his ministry and began to preach. He is not known today as... In fact, I was surprised when he told me that that's the guy he used to listen to those days when he went to school. I said, are you serious? He said, that's him. Why? Because he left that area to go and earn respect. Please, you're a Christian. You belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You cannot do anything, one, because of money, two, because of respect. You don't do it. Everything you do must be because of what? A calling. You feel this is what I'm gifted with. This is where God, this is how God wants to bless people in this generation through me. I focus on that. I do that. If it makes everybody happy, fine. If it makes them sad, fine. Your father thought you were going to toe his line and become a successful businessman like him. You tell you are going to be a pastor. Your father is not your father. God in heaven, that's what Jesus said, is your father. Are you getting my point? Your father is just a senior child of God trained, sent to train a junior child of God. You owe your allegiance, first of all, to God in heaven. So if he thought you should be a successful businessman and politician like himself, but you have chosen to become a preacher you shall be. If you want to please, you know, people make a mistake, say, let me first go and make it in ministry first, in business first. I'll now return and do ministry. I have never seen one that succeeded doing that. If you did not know and you did the business first and you now return to ministry, it's okay. But if you knew, let me first go and set to make sure I have enough money. I have, what do you call it, multiple streams of income and passive income so I can now preach effectively. Don't worry. You are asking for trouble. I have never seen anybody it worked for. It doesn't work.